Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
From the What Took So Long department.
Like, I feel like I'm like, oh, why did I think of this?
This is something that should have been out 100 years ago.
We'll shout it out coming up in just a few minutes at 913-576-7610. So get those texts in now. Anything you'd like to discuss, we'll do that coming up in just a few minutes. But this comes from Snoop Dogg.
Mm-hmm. Who has become America's favorite person now, I think, right?
Has been for a while, I'd say.
Right? I think right now, undisputed, everybody loves Snoop Dogg. I was telling my wife the other day, we were somehow talking about Snoop Dogg. I go,
well, because he comes up in conversation a lot.
He does, but he's everywhere. Every time you look up at the TV, he's everywhere, yeah. Right? And I said to my wife, I said, if you don't like Snoop Dogg, that's a you issue now, right? Like, that's on you, because there's nothing not to like about this guy. He is...
That's a damn lie.
He is, like, comfortable in his own skin. He doesn't care what you think about him. He does his thing, and he's just happy and jovial, and, like, that's the guy who's got it figured out in life right now. And all of a sudden, every company out there is hitching their wagon to Snoop Dogg, and they should.
I think it was called the Wap Baba Lubop, the Wap Bamboo.
I mean, he's hosting post-game Olympic shows, and like the guy's everywhere right
now.
So
why did it take so long for him to launch Snoop Dogs?
Yeah, I don't know.
Hot dogs. He's getting into the hot dog business. Yes. I feel like, why? Why did this take so long?
I want to thank me for believing in me. I want to thank me for doing all this hard work. I want to thank me for having no days off. I want to thank me for never quitting. I want to thank me for always being a giver and trying to give more than I receive. I want to thank me for trying to do more right than wrong. I want to thank me for just being me at all times.
Snoop Dogg's brand hot dogs are going to be launched.
Now,
of course they are.
Now, where are they on the lexicon of hot dog? Are they in the Bar S variety, or are they going to be up with, like, the Nathan's variety? Or are they going to be kind of a middle-of-the-road kind of dog?
We'll find out. They haven't launched. They've basically got the patents and the trademark done first with the intent to launch.
Because I don't want to see, like, Bar S rebranded as Snoop Dogs, because as much as I like Snoop Dogg, I'm not eating that hot dog, right?
No,
like, you, I think you got to be a little bit more than the 89 cent
a pack.
They
have a higher level
hot dogs, right?
Yeah.
Wait, so this isn't a restaurant. This is actual hot dogs for sale, like packaging.
That's the way I read it.
That's
like
the intention.
Like a grocer's freezer or something like that,
I feel like a restaurant.
Snoop
that
Dogs
name
would be fantastic, right? As well. Yeah, good chain hot dog restaurant. Because other than Wiener Schnitzel, what other, like, chain hot dog restaurant is out there? You can go get a hot dog at Sonic, but there's not many places that, you know, you can just drive in and get your hot dog 18 different ways. You want a Chicago dog, you want a New York dog, you want a Detroit dog, you want a Dirty Water dog. Like, what do you want? What kind of hot dog do you want? We need one of those places, because Wiener Schnitzel ain't cutting the mustard.
So the Snoop Dogs, they plan to sell hot dogs, various types of sausage, and other products. So,
who are you?
Big Snoop Dogg from the DPJC. Oh, wait.
So Snoop Dogs.
I like it. Like,
why?
Fantastic. Fantastic. And you could sell fries and root beer with all that kind of stuff, too. Oh, my God. I need a good hot dog restaurant, man. I know that place in Independence is supposed to be pretty good. Sup Dog, you ever been there?
I have not.
I've heard good things about that.
There's one that used to be not far from us,
right,
but it was very short-lived.
Yeah, it didn't last all that long. I wonder why the fast food hot dog has never really taken off.
I don't know. So Snoop Dogs coming to you soon. And, again, I'm just baffled. Why it didn't
happen sooner.
Yeah. Let's shout it out. 913-576-7610. It is brought to you by Jay's Southland Tow Service. They are simply the best.
Check them out at southlandtow.com. Mention 610 and you will save 10%. What do we got going on, Julio?
All right. What we got going on? Well, is there anyone else you would rather be than Snoop Dogg? I feel like
Tom Brady, Derek Jeter.
Right, that's a close one.
Those are two that
I think. Snoop over Jeter.
Snoop over Jeter right now. But you're like, if you could trade lives as a guy, I was talking to my friend Paul about this the other day. I don't like Tom Brady. Why? The man had a moat. Anybody that has had a moat or has a moat in front of their house, I'm all in on that. Like, moat takes you to the next level. If you have a moat, you're in a rarefied air, man. How could you not? If you're a guy, how do you not want to be Tom Brady?
Well, I mean,
supermodel wife, Super Bowl rings, money.
You don't put in the work, though.
Yeah, that is true. He has put in a lot of work. But all these guys are successful because they work.
With somebody who, again, sold their company.
Okay.
I think that,
somebody you don't know that's living in peace, or a
fired coach.
A fired coach,
I think that's the life, too. That's not a bad
Joe
life.
Joe Judge is cashing in for the next couple of years, yeah.
More so than probably the college ranks. You get really paid when you go away.
You actually get paid more in college than you do in the pros.
To go away,
to go away, especially. Like, that's Charlie Weiss.
Yeah. I want my 35-year-old wife's 20-year-old figure back.
Oh wow.
That's not something you probably want to put out there, right?
That was from our
internal discussion.
Comeback segment. Leftover. You might be in some trouble.
You better not go home tonight, sir.
Be in some trouble.
Man, that's not good for you.
Not sure how this is relevant to shout it out, but I'm going to read it anyways. For lambasting, will a turkey baster work in a pinch, or do I need the lambaster? I'm pretty sure that's supposed to be a joke. I don't know how funny that is.
Yeah, no. It's a delivery sometimes, Julio.
It's a poor delivery. That's on me,
maybe,
right?
Maybe sometimes. I don't know.
Shout out to David Blackwell.
Okay. He's still around.
We all wish we could be you.
Yes,
that's
we
what
do.
It says. Yeah, yeah. Sure. David Blackwell. Big. Huge.
Shout out to Five Guys, who has the greatest hot dogs, which I've heard several people say that they have the best hot dogs.
So four of the dudes are working on the burger and one guy's got the hot dog thing working?
Yeah, well, it's probably the hot dog guy texting in. You're like, what about me?
Huh.
Everybody has the burgers there.
Wow. I think that's fantastic, man. Wow. I had no idea that they had hot dogs there, because why wouldn't you get a burger at Five Guys? Because they are so good. And maybe I'm caught up in the bottomless fries or whatever, but I'm like, hey, let's go.
Snoop is the new Regis Philbin. I like that.
That's a good comparison. I do like that. Like, Regis was everywhere. Everybody loved Regis. And here we sit. Yeah, maybe Snoop is the next Regis. I always thought, like, Ryan Seacrest was going to be the next Regis because he is everywhere. I just don't think Ryan Seacrest is as likable as Snoop Dogg. Ryan Seacrest is likable. I don't dislike him, but Snoop is just to a different level.
Plus, he works too hard.
He works too hard.
Does he, though?
Yeah.
He's got like 15 shows. Yeah.
He does. Yeah.
He's flying across.
I don't know
how
he's got enough hours in the day.
Yeah. I don't get the
I wouldn't trade places with that.
Work ethic thing. That's insane. No, I'm not doing that. Okay. So in LA, I got to do the show tonight. Then I got to fly to New York overnight to be on, you know, Regis and Kelly in the morning. That's tough, man.
Good for him. Shout it out to the people who opened the door for my kids in the drop off line at school.
There you go. That's a nice little. School drop-off attaboys we've ever had on the show.
That's true.
School drop-off is hell.
The pickup is the worst. You and I have never had to really deal with the drop-off.
Yeah, I guess.
The pickup is just the worst, especially
terrible,
in Johnson County, where all the Johnson County moms think their car is the only one that matters.
I just think the pickup and the drop-off are the same realms of hell. Mm-hmm. Nobody can figure it out. 610 Sports Radio, KCSP Kansas City, WDF HD2 Liberty and Odyssey Station.
Shout out to my cousin Zach. I asked him to go to the Chiefs game 2 days ago. He still hasn't answered. Zach, we need an answer, buddy.
Zach, he's going to ask somebody else.
Zach, it's Wednesday. Let your cousin know he wants to take you to the game.
Jeez.
That's all we got for today, guys.
Yeah, you have to have a pretty quick response or else.
Right? Who doesn't respond to free cheese tickets?
I can understand if Zach is married and it's a Sunday night game. You got kids. Your wife is probably saying, do you really need to go out there on Sunday night to watch a football game? So he's probably trying to convince his wife. The answer is yes. Yes. If he gets invited to the game, he should go to the game. Josh will be there on the sidelines. You can wave to him. So, Zach, get off your ass and text your cousin back.
Isn't there a term limit for that, too? Like when you offer somebody free stuff?
Well, yeah,
You have like 24 hours to respond.
I would think, or you're moving on to the next person.
You're moving on, right?
I need an answer because otherwise I need to get rid of this ticket. Yeah. So, Zach, get on it, Zach. Mitchell Schwartz dropping by the drive yesterday on 610 Sports Radio. And, he says the Steelers are boring.
It's not a brand of football that's fun to watch. It's not good. Their scheme kind of sucks. Their players are good. Their quarterback isn't. Their run game isn't. And so it's just, again, I was watching that, I think it was 2 weeks ago, and I started tweeting at the beginning of the game, like, am I going to be able to get through this game watching the Steelers offense without losing my mind? And it was like midway through the first quarter, I was just like, no, like this sucks. And yeah, every third down it seems like he's throwing a negative 2 yard pass to somebody, and it's just not awesome. And then here they are in the playoffs and they've got a winning record, and it just doesn't make sense.
How do you feel about that matchup, Mitchell?
I think it sucks. I think it's very boring. I don't like what I'm watching, and they're
I hate having to watch this team.
Hey, you love the honesty, though. Mitchell Schwartz got out of the cliche mode of the NFL from when he was a player, right? He was able to break out, baby! And he broke out of that cliche mode, and
hilarious.
Now we've got him telling the absolute truth. Like, right there, what Mitchell Schwartz is saying is probably what's being said right now inside the locker room for the Chiefs. Like, they're not going to say that publicly or whatnot, but Mitchell Schwartz is less than a year removed from playing for this organization. He still knows the guys. They still talk, and that's kind of the conversation I'm sure guys are having in the locker room. This team isn't very good. Now, you can't let your guard down. You got to focus on that, but that's an honest assessment of the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think even the diehard Pittsburgh fan is going to hear what Mitchell Schwartz said and probably agree.
I'm envisioning
that they're not that exciting to watch.
Other players nodding off watching game film this week.
Well, Mike Tomlin did watching the end of that Raider game
the
other
night. I can't blame him. That was really late.
It was late,
really
especially late. On the East Coast, you know.
They already played, too. It's a long day.
Mm-hmm.
So Mitchell Schwartz on what Pittsburgh's game plan has to be to beat the Chiefs.
I think in a weird way, they need to do like a Cincinnati light version of what we saw a couple weeks ago from the Bengals, which is just chuck the ball up and just have the one-on-one plays, have Claypool go up and get it, have Johnson juke a couple guys and get some balls. Like, I think their only chance is to have these explosive plays and to just kind of say, all right, this is going to be a little bit riskier. As you said, they're not a great running team, so going in and establishing the run and we got to be physical and all that, like, I don't think that's going to be the game plan to make it happen. Now, defensively, they do have some pieces. I mean, we started this talking about Watt and things he can do and Hayward, and they've got guys, you know, Mink is a pretty awesome player, so they have guys that didn't matter a few weeks ago, obviously. So it's tough because I don't think anyone's expecting what happened a few weeks ago to happen again. But it's like sitting there, yeah, we just beat the crap out of you and we did it in pretty easy fashion. And to your point, it's just this Pittsburgh team makes you wish that they didn't go to 7 games because I don't think anyone's really pining to see them in the postseason. And obviously, as a Kansas City fan, we'd rather the Chiefs have a bye.
Oh, thank you, Mitchell.
Mitchell's awesome.
Very good, Mitchell. Jeez. What did he say about the 7 teams in the? Can you play that part of the cut there?
Well, he doesn't like 7 teams.
Play that again.
He doesn't like just the very end or just
the end part there about the 7 team one.
Okay.
Yeah.
This Pittsburgh team makes you wish that they didn't go to 7 games because I don't think anyone's really pining to see them in the postseason. And obviously, as a Kansas City fan, we'd rather the Chiefs have a bye.
So I disagree with that. I love, and I've said it now since the expansion, I didn't like it when it first happened. I went, oh, man, I like 6. I like the 2 byes. It fits into a nice box. I think the 7 teams in the postseason have added so much excitement. I mean, we wouldn't have had, Josh, week 18 the way we did if they didn't add that 7th team into the postseason. I think it makes the regular season dare I say, even more important than it's ever been before because of getting that first round bye and getting the opportunity to have that time off. So it keeps the regular season churning and burning to the 18th week, and then it eventually will be the 19th week with 20 games that we see added in, you know, to the NFL schedule. I absolutely love the seventh game. That was one of those things that I was totally wrong about when I thought, oh, man, they're going to move the seven games or seven teams are kind of water, but they're, I don't think they're watering it down at all. And I think with the NFL just being a game of, you know, one or two plays makes a huge difference and can change the landscape of the game. I don't think you count anybody out right now in these wild card games in any seven seed. Now, Pittsburgh doesn't look like they're going to show up and play football, and it could be a potential buy for the Chiefs, but I don't want them to change the seven teams being in and revert back to the six. I think the seventh has made it even better, has taken up great product and made it even better right now.
Just not a brand of football that's fun to watch.
and they're not.
But
are the New England Patriots a brand of football that's fun to watch right now? I don't think so.
I love getting the buy.
Yeah, you do.
But probably not to the extent of, well, I want the buy back because we're the two.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you got to earn the one.
You do.
But if you're in the one, it's a big advantage.
Huge advantage.
So it's a great advantage. But otherwise, I'm just not going to argue with more playoff games. No. I think it's awesome.
I'm not going to argue with more games. I'm not going to argue with more teams being involved because much like we've talked about.
Six games.
Yeah.
I'm taking that every day of the week.
Right.
Give me all the games on this. So this super wild card weekend is terrific. Mm-hmm. Yes, I'd rather be sitting back and watching them all without having a game to be at.
Sure.
And waiting for next week and just say, oh, this is fun. Let's see how it all. Yes. But they didn't earn that position.
Right.
But if you're just stepping back and saying, do I want more playoff games? The answer is yes.
The answer is yes. You want it because they're great games. You don't normally see a dud in the postseason in the NFL. I mean, you just don't. It doesn't happen all that often where you're like, okay, this game's over at halftime and you're going out to do something else. These are compelling games. They come down to the end. They make great plays at the end. You talk about the Minnesota Miracle a couple of years ago. I mean, you see these plays happen late in games that are these big time postseason moments, and I want more of them. I need more of them, and I think the league wants more of them. And expanding the playoff does so much because it allows you to have other markets involved up until the end. And so many people are watching week 18 this past week with a rooting interest one way or the other. You had Kansas City dialed in, you had Pittsburgh dialed in, you had Oakland dialed in, you had, you know, LA dialed in. Like, everybody was paying attention up until the last minute of these games. If you didn't expand the postseason to that seventh team, Josh, that Sunday night game wouldn't have meant a damn thing. The postseason would have been locked up already, and you wouldn't have had the ability to have that epic season finale like they did on NBC. That's what it's all about. It's all about the fan, and I think the seventh team has just been awesome to add into the playoffs. I love it, man. I think it's fun.
And you're not going to eight because you do like there being one advantage, right?
Well, I mean, they're going to eventually probably go to eight. I would imagine.
When we get
right?
to 18 games, yeah. They'll go to 18.
Yeah. I would think probably it's probably more money for them. You know, they probably would do it.
But I do kind of like having that one carrot out there.
Yeah, I do too.
I think it's a big thing.
Because you can't
go to
one bye with eight teams in the postseason.
Correct.
You have to go to two byes at that point.
But I don't think you go back to two.
And you're not going to go back to no byes. Like, you're not going to take that away.
I don't know. That's what I'm saying.
But you still need that incentive, I think. I think that's the incentive.
That's why I wouldn't go to eight.
Yeah, and I'm with you. I wouldn't go to eight either, but I'm sure they will. I mean, they're going to see dollar signs here before long. Some streaming company that we don't even know about right now is probably offering them billions of dollars for an eighth playoff team.
$4.99 a month.
That's right. You're in.
Sign me up. Apparently, that's the price.
That's right.
Apparently, that's
you got them all. You get in.
Apparently, that's the price. Today, or this week, I should say, is the 15th anniversary of the first iPhone.
Oh, okay.
You can't say it's not one of the most revolutionary developments in our lifetime, right?
Right.
Even if you don't have an iPhone, you have an Android phone or whatever. All the must-haves from this. I mean, there's been nothing that's been as revolutionary as the iPhone.
Are you guys both Apple guys?
Yeah, I have an iPhone. Yeah.
I can't stand it. I'm an Android guy.
Yeah, but see, you ruin group texts.
But your technology and having everything in your phone
is because of
comes
the iPhone.
From
because
all that, right? Yes. Yeah. And they pushed the arms race. Got pushed.
Right.
Right. And so now we're beholden to these things.
Oh, like, God, yes.
You get twitchy when it's not around.
Yeah.
This was an unnecessary write-up, though, from CNET. It's a technology website. 15 years ago, Steve Jobs and perhaps his most iconic.
Jobs, I think, is.
most iconic Apple keynote introduced the original iPhone, an iPod, a phone, an internet communicator. An iPod, a phone. Are you getting it?
Mm-hmm.
It was January of 2007. Night at the Museum was number one in the theaters.
Mm-hmm.
Nokia was the big name in phones.
Mm-hmm.
President Gerald Ford had been buried days earlier.
Oh, wow.
And then they throw this in. I don't know why. And in a wild card playoff game, the Indianapolis Colts had just defeated the Kansas City Chiefs.
Manning in his own 49 out of the shotgun. Four-man rush, quick pass, intercepted, Ty Law up the left side, 35, he's got to beat Manning, and Manning misses the tackle, Ty Law, 15, 10, and inside the 10 to the 8.
It's there, it's down, Tynes puts the ball up, and he hit the upright, nobody missing.
High set, Wilson in front of Larry Johnson, play fake, they flood the right side, Green throws it for Gonzalez, he pulls it into his body, touchdown, Kansas City, Tony Gonzalez with a playoff touchdown reception.
4:06 to go, Green out of the shotgun, takes the snap, again the pressure up the middle, again he's caught, he's bumped the ball, let's see who got it. Pressure down around the 30-yard line. It looks as though Kansas City. No, the Colts got it. The Colts got it. This was all but over.
Why are we tied into the start of the iPhone?
Seems unnecessary.
That's just an unnecessary shot. Like somebody who wrote that is obviously a Colts fan that's pining for better time. But you have to. That was like an irrelevant playoff game. Like the Chiefs weren't even supposed to be in the postseason.
Colts went on to win the Super Bowl, but why got drag us into this? Felt like that was an unnecessary shot.
No, I mean, it's so
nice story about the evolution of the iPhone,
right.
The first iPhone. And they're like, oh, no, by the way, the Chiefs got kicked in the junk that week, too.
But how many people reading that even know that playoff game? Unless you're in Indianapolis or Kansas City,
right.
That's just a minor footnote in a playoff game. Like that game was not even a good football game to watch, if I remember. The Chiefs backdoored into that thing, had to have 10 different things happen on that Sunday. Sure enough, they did, and they found themselves in that playoff game, and it's like, that game against the Colts, to me, was just a game. It's kind of like the feeling you have if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers right now. Like, I remember, like, I don't want to be in this game at that point in time.
Right.
I mean, and now, here we go. Here are the Pittsburgh Steelers kind of feeling that same way, but I'm with you. You're talking about the iPhone. Why mention that game?
I don't know.
Like, that's not even like a memorable game in the NFL.
I felt like it was a shot. I don't know. I didn't list a writer, but whoever it seen had an axe to grind with Chiefs gut-wrenching losses to the Colts.
Yeah.
So if you don't remember that game, you look it up on your iPhone.
Sure.
You'll find it right there.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have our third comeback bracket of the day and chat with forever Chiefs linebacker Joe Mays coming up next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll reveal our third comeback bracket of the day. The poll is up right now. We'll play the highlights of it coming up at 8:30. It's the anniversary of the Chiefs' comeback against Houston, so we're pitting a little comeback v. comeback today.
That's right.
The Chiefs' comeback via the Texans. Of course, the wild card comeback for the Royals and playing some of the fun plays from that.
Mm-hmm.
So still a few more minutes to vote on last hour's poll. The Mecole Hardman kick return has kind of jump-started that Houston comeback versus Christian Colon RBI to tie the game in the 12th.
That's right.
Of the wild card game, even though it says ninth in there, I typed it wrong.
Yeah.
So we'll have our third coming up in about 10 minutes. Time now, though, to chat with Joe Mays, forever Chiefs linebacker, who joins us each and every Wednesday. Joe's appearance is brought to you by the Leia Center, located at 1814 Oak Street in the Crossroads.
All right, Joe, what's the mindset inside the locker room this week, knowing 2 weeks ago you smoked these guys and you blew them out of the water? Does that even matter for this team going into the playoffs?
It really doesn't. I mean, you might have beat them 2 weeks ago, but you're not about to play the same team. I mean, everything is on the table now, man. I mean, you know, it's either win or go home. So, you know, you're going to get the best out of that team, so you have to make sure you show up playing your absolute best and try to play mistake-free.
You know, the last couple of weeks, the defense has not been something that you'd like to tell mom about. I mean, they're missing tackles, they're giving up big plays, that kind of stuff, like we saw earlier in the season. How do they get back to playing that same type of football they played for that 8-week stretch where they look like the 85 Bears?
Man, you know what? Just keep it simple. They kept it simple the entire time, and those guys were able to just fly around and make plays. So you keep it that way. You know, making sure you stay fresh, making sure you subbing out fresh bodies on the D-line. Because, you know, I got to speak from the defensive side.
Sure.
And you make sure you do those things, and you're going to be golden.
You know, for a team like, you know, the Chiefs that clinched at I guess, who did they clinch against? The Chargers, right, Josh? They clinched the division against the Chargers back in the middle of December. And then you've got these three games left to go in the regular season.
It was this
season.
One, wasn't it? It was the Steelers.
Okay, so you had those two games left at the end of the season. Do coaches try random things in games that, quote-unquote, don't mean anything? Going down to stretch to see maybe what you can do, or just to put stuff on tape for postseason opponents. Do they do that in games that are truly like meaningless football games?
Oh yeah, yeah. Coaches do that all the time. You know, they go out there and try some things that they've ran all throughout the season in practice and haven't had a chance to put it in the game. They would do something like that towards the end of the season just to put something on film, give teams something to think about whenever they line up in certain situations, certain personnel. Just to try to throw them off a little bit.
Back to the defense for a moment. You'd have a great perspective on this. Last couple of weeks, they haven't looked as sure tackling. I feel like they kind of maybe weren't quite as focused. I mean, do you think it's a focus thing with tackling as much as anything?
Yeah. You know, it's a focus thing, but it's also just, you know, wanting to make a play so bad that you're not using, you know, the techniques that you learned and everything that you worked on throughout the week in practice. You know, just going out there trying to make a play. You know, not wanting your teammate to make the play. So you want to go out there and jump at it and you make a mistake. And you know, it's a mental thing too. So, you know, the guys, they got to stay focused. They got to stay tuned and gang tackle. You know, it's not just about one person getting the ball, carry it down. It's about all 11 getting to the ball and making sure they get down and stay down.
I thought they did that in that Steeler game. That was the one where it was like, wow, they've come a long way. This was rallying to the football. And then the last couple of games, Joe, that's kind of slipped. There were some defensive players frustrated with kind of their teammates the other day where it was like, why weren't we all there to make the tackle? I was there, couldn't get it done. Where was my help? I feel like that has kind of slipped the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I mean, you know what, man? You can't be perfect all the time, right? I mean, you know, you're going to make some mistakes here and there. But you better believe it's playoff time. You know, it's win or go home. So, you know, you better believe all 11 guys are going to be running to the ball. They're going to be flowing to the ball and trying to, you know, make some big plays, trying to create some turnovers so they can get the offense back on the field.
You know, I asked Derek Johnson this question on Monday, and I'm going to ask you the same one, and it's about when he burns hot, it has a negative impact on the rest of the team. If he's mad at a play, if he's mad at the ref, you know, his body language, he doesn't hide anything. You see it out there. And I think the team feeds off of that. As a former player, somebody that's been in there, how do you not kind of react to your teammate when he's getting frustrated like that? How do you try to keep your own composure? Because I think him acting like that at times could have a negative effect on this team going forward.
You know what? He's been here for a few years. I mean, you know, his teammates, they know how he operates. They know how he is. You know, if you get mad or if you get pissed off, you know, he tends to show that. So, you know, it's good to just give him his space, let him breathe a little bit, and then come and talk to him when it's time to get back out there on the field. You know, all you need is time, man. You need time to decompress. You need time to, you know, just cool off from you know, just being mad and being upset with not just your teammates but with yourself because you're not out there making plays too. It's not just about him being mad at his teammates. You know, it could be about him feeling about his play.
Yeah.
You know, not necessarily bringing the best out there or not playing as well as he know he could have. So, you know, just allow that man to cool down, you know, because once again, you know, he's been here for a few years. They know how he operates, and he's been a leader on his team. His defense has played extremely well since he's been here. So, you know, you let him do that, and then, you know, everything else is cool.
All right, so how as a player do you let the last play go? Because we hear it all the time. Baseball people say, Leo, don't forget your last at bat. Don't try to hit a five-run homer.
Terrible at that.
In the NFL, how do you do that, Joe? How do you just like, all right, I just got my ass beat on that play. How do you flush that play and get on to the next and not try to make up for that play on the next play?
I mean, you know, it's not something that you can explain. You just have to do it because, you know, you can get your ass beat on the very next play by thinking about the pass play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's one of those things where every single play matters. So, you know, you miss out on the tackle one play. You can't allow that to go on to the next play because, you know, if you do that, now you're getting into your mentality, your mental. and you're not believing in yourself. You're not, and now if you don't believe in yourself, you're not playing well. Your teammates are not going to believe in you. Your coach is not going to believe in you, and then they're going to take you out of the game, and you won't be any help to the team. So it's just one of those things where you learn to just move on to the next play. It doesn't matter what happened on the pass play. You know, just try to be as consistent as possible.
Getting after the quarterback, Big Ben used to be the guy that made a lot of plays with his feet, kept plays alive. Now he's get rid of the football, Ben. But still, getting after him and pressuring him has got to be the key to this.
Oh, absolutely. Not only that, but being able to stop the run, too, because, I mean, they're still a running – they're a run team first. So stopping the run and definitely getting after Big Ben since he's not as mobile, that's going to be, you know, the key pieces to winning this game. And I really believe with the way that the D-line's been playing and also dialing up a couple blitzes here and there, they'll be able to do it.
Melvin Ingram's been such a huge addition to this club. Now he's making plays out there. We saw it against the Denver Broncos. But for me, the impact of Melvin Ingram still goes with Chris Jones on the inside. And I think that's the player that's going to determine the success or failure of the Chiefs in the postseason. When the Chiefs get a sack, Chris Jones plays. There's been three games this year where they didn't record a sack. All three of those games, Chris Jones was out with an injury or with the COVID. I think Chris Jones, to me, is the catalyst for this defense's, you know, run to success and run to another Super Bowl. Do you agree with that?
I do. I mean, Chris Jones is the man up front. You know, he's going to be one to get everything moving and grooving. But when it comes to Melvin Ingram, man, you know, he's hungry. You know, and plus, you know, this is the team that he decided to sign with instead of signing with the Chiefs, and they didn't necessarily play him as much as he wanted to, and they got rid of him. So now he get a chance to get some revenge. And, you know, being part of a team that's a Super Bowl contender, which is something that he hasn't been able to do. So now you better believe he's going to come out and play just as well as he's been playing all season long. And then, you know, having Chris Jones on the inside, it's going to create just a nightmare for the offensive line.
I love that the Steelers didn't see Travis Kelce in the first meeting, and yet they had a ton of offensive success. And we were talking to some people in Pittsburgh that said they don't have an answer for Travis Kelce. I'm anticipating, Joe, a big game for the tight end.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you always anticipate a big game from Kelce, no matter who the guys are playing. So, he's going to have a big game, if not with the stats. You know, just being able to pull two people away to create some space for other guys to operate and make some plays. So, yeah, it's going to be a big game all around. And, I mean, of course, I'm not sure how y'all thinking, but it's going to be a win. You know?
Oh, God,
I'm
yes.
I'm looking forward to them blowing through them and getting to the next game.
The only thing that concerns me is that the Steelers find a way to keep it close. They score more points in the fourth quarter than any team in the NFL. I don't think that they are going to keep it close in this game, because I just get the sense from people in Pittsburgh and everything that's coming out of that city this week, like, they don't want to be here. They would have rather have started the offseason than be playing this. Not the players, yeah. but like all the, like, I think the Pittsburgh Steelers truly have nobody in their corner this week other than themselves.
You know what? I don't believe it for a second. You know, when it comes to, you know, those fans in the Steel City, man, they believe in their team. They love the team so much. You know, they may feel like it's not the team of old. You know, you have the great defense. You have Big Ben, you know, going out there and leading the offense to victory. Like, it's not that same exact team, but, you know, they're still gritty. I mean, they still have Mike Tomlin as the head coach. Yeah. So they're going to come out there. They're going to grind it out. They're going to do whatever they can to win the game. It just so happened they won't be successful.
And I agree with you. I pick 35-0 every week. I'm going to pick 35-0 again, because it's bound to happen at one point or another, you know, during the season. But the interesting thing out of Pittsburgh, and I'm sure you can speak to this from a player standpoint, they're ready as a fan base to move on from Ben Roethlisberger. I think the team is ready to move on. I think Ben Roethlisberger is ready to move on. But you just don't know what you're going to get. And at the quarterback position right now in the NFL, it is so hard to find that right guy. You could end up with Patrick Mahomes, or you could stink and draft Andrew Luck and then have him show up like a homeless man wandering around a set at a football game. So, like from that standpoint, man, trying to find that next quarterback, it's not going to be easy for Pittsburgh. We may be seeing the last of the Pittsburgh Steelers as one of the top teams in the AFC if they don't hit on the next quarterback.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. You could potentially be seeing the last of, you know, this dominant Steelers team that you're used to seeing, you know, especially having Ben Roethlisberger as quarterback. But, you know, I wouldn't count them out just yet. You know, it's still some moves that to be made. It's still a lot of quarterbacks out there that could potentially not, you know, could potentially have new homes. So, you know, they can always swing a deal in the free agency. They can always draft a guy that comes in and play well. You know, you just never know. But I think just, you know, the era with Big Ben being the quarterback, he's been there, it seems like, for forever. That's going to be over. So they're going to be looking to make a change. And we'll see, man. You know, the offseason is a long ways away. Now let's just go ahead and put them out their misery and allow them to make those decisions.
All right. At the end of the day, seven coaches have been fired. There may be another one fired today. Who knows? You're a player. What's the number one thing you want in a head football coach?
You know what? I want a guy that just loves the game of football. I mean, you know, and as easy as that is, you know, sometimes you just, you know, you come across coaches that they see it just as a job. So they want to, so they're going to apply pressure to every single person that's in the building. They apply pressure to their assistant coaches. They apply pressure to their players. And a lot of the times it just seems like they're super anxious and not really knowing what's going on. Because they only consider it as a job. It's not really felt as like a passion to them. So, you know, you want a guy that just loves football, and a guy that you want to play for, you know, a player's coach, someone like an Andy Reid, that allow you to go out there and use your talents and help the team win, you know, instead of trying to control you and make you and turn you into a different football player. So that's the type of coach you want, you know, and you know, it's a lot of good options out there. And, of course, you know, they're going to dip it to the college realm and try to bring some guys in, too.
Joe, we appreciate the time, as always. Enjoy the game. We'll talk to you next week after this win as we get set to face whoever in the divisional round.
The key words you just said was after this win. You got it.
You got it, my That's man. Right. Take care. Joe Mays with us here on 610 Sports Radio, forever Chiefs linebacker, brought to you by the Leia Center, located at 1814 Oak Street in the Crossroads.
The Steelers are really, you mentioned they're a good fourth quarter team, but also good at, like, we mentioned in the first matchup, it just didn't come to fruition. Like, the best team at playing ugly and making dragging you down in the mud.
Yeah, they can do that.
And slog it out with you. That's typically their M.O. now.
Sure it is, yeah. It has to be their M.O.
I mean,
now.
Look at last week's game. Same thing like Baltimore, different quarterback. It was a field goal game. That didn't come to fruition in the first Chiefs matchup. I'm hoping that's the case again because, yeah, that's the kind of game they want to play.
Right.
They want to grind you.
Oh, yes, they do.
Chiefs don't want to be in a grinder with them. You don't want them hanging around in the fourth quarter.
No, you don't. You know, regardless of how he's playing right now, a Hall of Fame quarterback that feels like he has a chance in the fourth quarter of a football game is not a spot that I want to be in. And I don't expect the Chiefs to be in that spot on Sunday. I expect them to take care of business and Ben Roethlisberger not have a chance in the fourth quarter to come back. And he remembers his last game as an ass kicking.
All right, time for our third comeback v comeback. We're doing a comeback day here on 610 Sports Radio. Today is the anniversary of the comeback against the Houston Texans, so we're pitting some highlights from that game versus the wild card game from the Royals side of things. So our second vote goes to Christian Colon, his tie RBI in the 12th, 77-23% over the McCole Hardman kick return.
So that's a big one,
a whopping victory for Christian Colon. Well, tied the game in the 12th. Hardman's kick return kind of jump-started the comeback for the Chiefs in that that Texans matchup. Our third set of highlights, we start first with Mahomes to your guy, Dam.
Dam Williams.
First down and 10 for the Chiefs at the 17 of the Texans. 24-0 Houston, 5 minutes into the second quarter. Again, Houston playing a single high safety at about 20 to 25 yards deep. Middle blitz picked up. Left side throw caught. 10-4. Touchdown. Damian Williams. Touchdown. Kansas City on a quick shoot route to the running back for 17 yards and a touchdown.
Hey, they were coming back in this one.
At this point in time. All right, you can start the sense. We're getting there.
I feel like there's a comeback. So that goes up against the Haas triple.
Swing and a fly ball. Left center field. Deep. Back goes Gomes, a left fielder. And it's off the top of the wall. The two outfielders collide, and the ball rolls back out into left center field. Hosmer is going to end up at third base.
Don't send him.
No.
Wrong guy. I'm sorry. Okay. Forgot. The Haas triple against Oakland. Those are your two plays. You can vote at 610 Sports KC on Twitter. It's the third comeback v comeback on this, the anniversary of Chiefs comeback against Houston. The Hosmer triple against Mahomes to Damian Williams. In the comeback in that one. So you can vote at 610 Sports KC on Twitter. We'll reveal the results next hour. Yeah, I'm trying to get like chest beating against the Steelers thing, and I just don't want to get too cocky.
You started the show saying, "Yeah, I'm not going to get into that mindset where they're
I just don't think they have a chance.
I don't either.
I really don't either. Don't think they have a chance.
All right, I don't know that I've gone into a playoff game though, quite honestly, Josh, more confident than this one. I just like, and maybe that's a mistake on my part. Maybe I shouldn't walk into this game because it is, you know, a Hall of Fame quarterback and a great head football coach, one of the best in the game today. He's going to have his team ready, but I just don't get the sense from watching the Pittsburgh Steelers the last couple of weeks anyway, that they're going to really present this issue that the Chiefs can't solve or this problem that the Chiefs can't solve. I think it's going to be one of those games that we're feeling pretty comfortable in the second half with.
All right, come back Wednesday. We got the plays to vote on. You can go to @6NSportsKC on Twitter to do that. I want something to come back for you, Bob.
Okay.
And you can have something that you would like to come back for me.
I do. I've got a couple of things.
Mine's kind of based on last night.
Okay.
Okay. And I wish for you,
mm-hmm.
the pride of your alma mater would come back.
Mm-hmm.
Roy was back in the stands.
Yeah, Roy was there last night. That was cool.
Roy was back at Allen Fieldhouse. Can Fesco be back?
I don't know.
Fesco have a comeback with his Jayhawks?
How's the sport? Is it getting better? Because I did watch a little of that game last night. My wife played this cruel joke on me. She said, "What channel is the KU game on?" I said, "It's on the ESPN app." And of course, that like blew her mind, right? So she finally figures it out. I wasn't going to walk her through the process. She's on there trying to figure out all kinds. I mean, it was like, have you ever tried to use an umbrella? You know, it was a perfect infomercial for trying to use the app. She finally finds the game, puts it on, and then leaves the room and goes upstairs. And then leaves me downstairs alone
with the game on.
And now I remember why I don't really watch this sport anymore. It's not necessarily my alma mater. It's the sport in general.
I don't know. I'm pretty sour on the football program. You don't like basketball these days. Yeah.
I have nothing against the basketball department. I love those guys. It's the sport.
Reeling you in on the comeback for this one. I understand maybe difficult, but I like that for that to happen. More school pride to just weather through guys that shouldn't be shooting threes,
Right.
That's what college basketball is all about.
I don't know that I'm going to be able to get on that bandwagon, Josh, because it's not the alma mater for the basketball side of things. I love them, but the football side of things is an embarrassment. Mm-hmm. I saw the odds yesterday, 1,000-1 to win the national championship. Worst odds in Division I to go out there and win a championship, and they need to focus on paying players instead of paying off coaches. And then once they can get into that mindset and pay the proper players to come play at the University of Kansas with their NIL deals out there right now, then maybe they can get back in the win column. But I mean, they've given you nothing over the last decade and a half to root for that makes you excited to be a football fan up there. Basketball, you can always be a fan. The Allen Fieldhouse is great, but then the game starts. I always tell people the best part about going to a KU game is the intro, the video, and all of that. Once the ball gets tipped, you can take off, beat the traffic, because you're watching guys miss layup after layup after their layup, and that's all of college basketball.
One point game last night.
I know. It doesn't mean it was good.
Was it 61-60?
61-60 or something like that. Yeah, doesn't mean it was good. It was just a close game. And so college basketball has to find a way to be a better product to watch if I'm going to invest. And I had a friend for years, and still have the same friend, but for years he was always telling me he went to Syracuse, he grew up in New York City, and you know, whatnot. So he wasn't like a huge college basketball fan per se, but he used to tell me all the time, he goes, "Oh, college basketball doesn't get into March. Nobody cares about to March." And I used to fight him on that, argue. I said, "No way, there's no way. No. No, he's right. College basketball just doesn't start to the month of March for me, and they've got to find a way to get better play in
basketball. Just trying.
What are you doing to try to do that?
Bob, what I'm hearing is you have a problem with all of collegiate sports.
Yes. I think the money that is spent, you know, to buy out coaches is ridiculous. I love the name, image, and likeness thing that is in place right now. Give the kids a fair opportunity to earn a couple of bucks and get some cars out of this deal. You know, they're the product out there on the field. It's about time, you know, but I still think the play needs to be better than it is in college basketball right now. I think college basketball is in the midst of an all-time low when it comes to performance.
So my wish for your comeback is not going to happen.
No. Unless the sport changes. Now, my wish for your comeback
stuff.
I was
hoping when Roy was there.
Roy was there. It was great. We wave and, you know, cheer and throw some newspaper up in the air and chant Roy, Roy, Roy. And then the game started and on. So for me, for you, I want beta and black and white television to come back.
Oh, that'd
so you can
be
feel
awesome.
Like your childhood
that
all
would be
over
awesome.
Again.
That
right?
would be awesome. If I get back that 13-inch Zenith black and white television.
You got to have that.
That was my
Must
best.
Have, huh?
That was my best television.
Right.
It honestly was.
Yeah. You got to go with the Zenith. Remember the ones that looked like a big piece of furniture that you sat in your room? We had one of those and the screen was really small. So hopefully you can get your beta and black and white television back.
Awesome. And I still got that copy of Short Circuit 2 somewhere on beta.
On beta.
That, that would be really good.
Got to watch that.
And I do believe I have games 6 and 7 of the 85 World Series on beta.
Yeah. So what do you
recorded on beta somewhere?
What do you do with that?
Nothing.
Because I'm finding tapes now too. It's like old games that I have
I'd
of
like
Super Bowl.
To think
I'm like a VHS. What do I do?
I'd like to think they've been pitched, but it's debatable at my parents' home.
So. Mm-hmm. Probably. All that stuff you can find on YouTube now,
probably
anyway.
Probably there in a box. Somewhere.
And the other thing I hope you get back, free shoes. The guy's shoes are awful. The Chiefs need to get this guy some shoes, man. We're year two now. This is pathetic. His feet he coming out the bottom.
Not,
he's got the toes
no
coming
know,
through the front. If anybody over there at Arrowhead has a pair of shoes for the sideline reporter, let's go. I hope you get shoes.
We look at this week's power rankings heading into the playoffs and a very judgy random power ranking we'll get to next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Back in Wednesday edition, along with Bob Fesco, I'm Josh Klingler. Julio Sanchez producing today. Playoff coverage brought to you by Twin Peaks, Eats, Drinks, Scenic Views. We will have our random power rankings coming up in just a few minutes.
Yes, we will.
We had another coach fired yesterday, Joe Judge.
Mm-hmm. Here comes the judge.
Out as the head coach of the Giants. And so the number continues to go up. We've got, let's see if I'm keeping track here. We got Vikings, Bears, Giants, Dolphins, Jaguars, Broncos. Am I missing anybody?
Not yet.
David Culley's still in Houston,
David
correct?
David Culley's still there.
Okay. Obviously.
22% of the coaches have been fired.
Bisacci
right
has got an... At least another week.
Right. Are you having the Raiders on that list of openings?
At the moment.
So I've got 7 openings right now in the NFL. 7 of the 32 jobs.
With
the Raiders. Yeah. So that's 22% of the jobs. Almost a quarter of the jobs have come open now in the NFL. And as you were saying earlier, Eric Bieniemy has really only been rumored as a candidate for one of these jobs, and that is the Denver Broncos. And like we talked about yesterday, if I'm the Chiefs, I'm denying their request to interview Eric Bieniemy because he knows where all these secrets are. I mean, just sorry. I hate to say it that way, but you're not going to go interview with Denver. I mean, you'll still be my offensive coordinator, but I can't send you to a division rival. It's not good for business here in Kansas City.
Let's look at this week's power rankings heading into the postseason, starting first with NFL.com. They have the NFC at the top of their rankings, Green Bay and Tampa Bay, the Bays at 1 and 2.
Okay.
Bucks moving up a spot to number 2. Chiefs at number 3.
Number 3.
They moved up a spot to number 4, ahead of the Titans, who are at number 4.
Oh, wow.
This week's poll. Bills, Bengals, Niners, Rams. Boy, the Rams have kind of tumbled.
Well,
nobody's talking about the Rams.
Nobody's talking about them right now. They really haven't done a whole heck of a lot, like, wow, since they went out and got Odell Beckham Jr., which we said he's the cooler. So I'm not surprised that, you know, the Rams have kind of fallen off the radar. And then the Rams. And
I wouldn't be surprised whoever comes out of that game. I know it's a 5 versus a 4, so you understand they're in the division. It's comparable, what have you, but... No clue in that game.
That game going to be played?
L.A.
So that benefits Arizona because Arizona can't win at home. And so that's good for them. But it also benefits Arizona because L.A. doesn't have a home fan base. The story this week out in Los Angeles for those scoring at home is that the San Francisco 49ers wide receiver Debo Samuel is saying that he – felt like it was a home game for the 49ers. They felt like it was a game that was being played at their own stadium because there were no Rams fans in there. And then you see a couple of pictures from people in the press box from a kind of an above look. The whole stadium was red. And so if that game's going to be played in L.A., clearly they're already talking about not much of a home field advantage. Mm. So it could benefit Arizona a lot. But Josh, that's the problem you run into when you go to places like Los Angeles and Las Vegas now for the NFL. They are destination spots, and it's hard to probably capture your fan base in a city and a venue like that, especially when they're new cities and new venues and they've had years of supporting other teams.
CBS has the Packers number one, Bucks number two. They have the Titans at number three. The Bills ahead of the Chiefs at number four and the Chiefs at number five.
Mm-hmm. That's Pete Prisco, right?
Yeah.
Enough said.
Yeah. The Rams, the biggest drop from two to eight mm-hmm. This week. And the Raiders at number 12. Raiders at number 12. Cracking this week's top
12.
Yeah, top 12 poll. And then Yahoo has the Packers at number one, followed by the Chiefs. But it says they're right up. It was surprising to see Tyreek Hill playing at all on Saturday after he hurt the heel in pregame warmups. Without Hill being close to his normal self in the playoffs, the Chiefs aren't winning a Super Bowl.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll see. How do we know he's not close to his normal self?
Yeah, I hope
how
he's back to his normal self, but yeah. I think he is. He is indeed a key to me to a long run. They have the Cowboys third. That's the highest Cowboys I've seen. Bucks at number four, Bills at number five, Titans all the way down at number seven. So Titans, despite getting number one seed, not getting a ton of power ranking love.
Yeah, I just don't think anybody is buying into the Titans because you're looking at the quarterback right now. And Ryan Tannehill.
And the status of the running back. You don't know.
The status of the running back. Yeah, you don't know. And you're not going to know until next week at this point in time, right? So I think what we're looking at is a Titans team where they have a quarterback that for whatever reason nobody believes in, but yet still puts up really good numbers and has played very well since he's been to Tennessee. I think they've done a really nice job with Ryan Tannehill, obviously, to be in the number one position and to be a perennial playoff team with Ryan Tannehill as their quarterback down there. But a lot of it does rely on Derrick Henry and whether or not he's going to play. I think if he misses the playoff game, I don't know if you pick the Titans regardless of who they're going up against to win the game.
Even if he misses, even if he comes back, he's not going to be in football shape.
Well, that's the thing.
Out of football.
He's been out for...
And a foot.
It's midseason?
Yeah, a long time.
Are you convinced that thing's healed?
No, I'm not convinced at all. No. If they were convinced, they would have already said, he's good to go. We haven't seen anything like that.
No, I've seen him run a little high foot over those little barrier things.
Right. Let me see a full sprint with a handoff between tackles. Yeah.
In pads.
There you go. So that's a look at this week's power rankings. Time now for our random power rankings. You can weigh in on yours as well at 913-576-7610. In honor of Joe Judge getting fired yesterday by the Giants, we're going to power rank our favorite judges.
That's right.
Power rank our favorite judges. Number four for me is Judge Chamberlain Holler. Might not know the name, but he was the judge in My Cousin Vinny.
Ah. Is it possible? The two Utes.
Two what? What was that word?
What word?
Two what?
What?
Did you say Utes?
Yeah, two Utes.
What is a Ute?
Two Utes.
It's a guy that plays for Utah,
I say
judge.
A lot of that. I repeat that a lot. Two Utes.
My dad does that as well. So do I. That was a great movie. Marissa Tomei was looking good. That's why Costanza liked her.
And number three, Judge Reinhold.
Mm-hmm.
And name me another guy with a first name Judge, for that matter. Judge Reinhold from Fast Times.
I'm so tired of dealing with incompetence. It says 100% guaranteed, you moron. Mister, if you don't shut up, I'm going to kick 100% of your ass.
Yeah, that's right.
I love it.
Number three for me, Wapner. Definitely Judge Wapner.
Sorry about that. That man right there is my brother. And if he doesn't get to watch people's court in about 30 seconds, he's going to throw a fit right here in your porch. And you can help me, or you can stand there and watch it happen.
So Judge Wapner. Mm-hmm. Definitely Wapner.
Definitely Wapner.
5 minutes to Wapner. Mm-hmm. At number two. Mm-hmm. And number one for me, it's Judge Ito.
So saturated by the irresponsibility of the media that I'm beyond being outraged.
I see OJ, man, and he looks scared.
So Judge Ito would be my favorite.
Which,
my favorite judge.
Ironically enough, today in 1995 is when the OJ trial started. So you have Judge Ito on the day of the beginning of what turned out to be the trial of the
Even
century.
Even though he hates the media, Judge Ito.
Yeah, Judge Ito. He loved the media. Loved the media. All right, coming in at number four for me, I like Judge Harry Stone from Night Court, baby.
All right. Criminal Court Part 2 is now in session. The Honorable Harold T. Stone presiding.
You may be seated.
So Night Court, which is having a reboot now, John Larroquette's going to be in the reboot. Obviously, Harry Stone is not going to be because he passed away. R.I.P. Harry Anderson. But Judge Harry Stone coming in at number four for me. Coming in at number three, I could have had it a lot higher, but I'm going to go with number three on this. Judge Smales of Caddyshack.
Oh, Danny's an employee of the club. He can't work and play, particularly something as illegal as this.
Well, we're waiting.
Judge Smales coming in at number three. Number two, you may not have known it, Uncle Phil was a judge.
I'm Philip Banks, and I'm running for Superior Court judge.
What the hell is that?
And now there's a Fresh Prince reboot coming out as well, so you'll see more of Judge Banks.
Will Smith made his promotional video to run for judge. It wasn't quite the same as the one he cut.
Not the same at all, no. And finally for me, the number one judge, as we mourn the passing of Joe Judge as Giants head coach, is Judge Arthur Vandelay of Seinfeld.
I do not know how or under what circumstances the four of you found each other. But you're careless indifference and utter disregard for everything that is good and decent has rocked the very foundation upon which our society is built. I can think of nothing more fitting than for the four of you to spend a year removed from society so that you can contemplate the manner in which you have conducted yourselves.
I know people don't like the final episode of Seinfeld.
Brought down the hammer. That
guy. The more I watch that episode, and I do watch it a lot, the more I'm in love with the final episode of Seinfeld. It put a bow on something you didn't realize for 8 or 9 years watching that show. Those guys were jerks. Every single one of those characters was a big fat jerk.
You didn't realize they were jerks.
not until the last episode. End. I'm like, oh my God, these were rotten people.
Yes, they were the entire time.
So neither one of you had Judge Judy?
No, Judge Judy for me.
No, I'm not in on Judge Judy. I don't watch that show, man. Not for me.
She's no Wapner.
No, she definitely is no Wapner. Now she makes more money than Wapner, but she, you know, she's done a nice job for herself, no question about it. But yeah, for me, I am still amazed and stunned that every single time I watch that finale, and then I go back and watch the episodes, because I watched the Seinfeld from a different perspective now than when I watched it the first go around. Those people were asses.
Yes.
Every episode, they were just selfish jerks.
Didn't realize it the entire time.
No wonder Spectre likes it so much.
Those are today's random power rankings. You can weigh in on yours.
No wonder I like it so much,
at 913-576-7610. Also uses the telephone number right now, 913-576-7610, to play a playoff edition of Pick the Steeler. No cheating. Don't grab a roster. Play on the up and up. Mm-hmm. It's Pick the Steeler, 913-576-7610 to play next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. baseball your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.